Welcome, fans of the Justice League universe. My name is Sam. This podcast focuses on detailed analysis of the Warner Brothers films that involve the DC Justice League characters and the cinematic universe that is commonly referred to as the DCEU. Contributors to this podcast are Alessandro Maniscalco, Rebecca Johnson, Nick Begovich, and Sydney. You can find us individually on Twitter, and you can follow the show at JLU Podcast. In this short episode, I'm going to use our new faster-paced structure specifically designed for Justice League. And this is where we simply discuss 3 points for each scene. And this time we have scene 21, which is Arthur and Mira talking underwater after Steppenwolf just took the Atlantean mother box. So let's go through 3 points. Our first will be about the air pocket as the setting for this scene. Second will be the continuity between this scene and the solo Aquaman film, and also some connections to other parts of the DCEU. And third will be Mira and the information we can glean about her backstory. So we've just finished the underwater battle with Steppenwolf, and he's escaped with the mother box. Then Mira uses her hydrokinetic powers to open up an air pocket for her and Arthur. This is a nice way to showcase her powers, and I also just want to say that visually, it's a very unique and memorable effect. They say in screenwriting that you can't just have good plotting and good dialogue. You also have to choose interesting settings for the scenes. And I think this air pocket does a nice job of it here for this scene. The air pocket, the separation of air and water, also has symbolic meaning, with Aquaman standing on land, but putting one hand in the water. And right as he's doing that, he's being confronted with his responsibility to the Atlanteans. But he's not really a member of that society, nor is he a member of the Surface Society. He's kind of caught between those two worlds. But Mira's asking him to help, and she's asking him to kind of take up his role in the Atlantean world. And we've seen with Arthur that beneath his rough exterior and his loner personality, he does have an instinct to help out. We've seen him helping out on the surface, even in remote places, and we will eventually see that he does end up helping out here with the Atlanteans. With regard to connections to the Aquaman film, some people might say that this is a discontinuity from Justice League to Aquaman, because in Aquaman, the Atlanteans can speak underwater without needing air pockets, so Mira and Arthur could have just talked to each other in the water. But even in Aquaman, they do still use air pockets. For example, Mira, Volko, and Arthur meet at the bottom of the ocean in an air pocket when they're talking about their plan to retrieve the Trident. So this might be a matter of convenience for those who can breathe air. They just sometimes like to use air pockets. Or perhaps it's a way to exclude other Atlanteans if the people in the air pocket want to have some sort of sensitive conversation. They do it in an air pocket, and it kind of is a separation between the other Atlanteans who maybe shouldn't be hearing what they're talking about. Also, it might just be as simple as Mira creating an air pocket as a gracious gesture to Arthur, because she knows that he has lived almost exclusively on the surface thus far. So for us, the air pocket versus water talking is not a big deal at all. A potentially more problematic discontinuity is Arthur's attitude here. Arthur here seems to harbor some anger toward his mother. In Aquaman, the anger is directed towards Atlantis. At first glance, this seems like a contradiction, but in reality, both could be true. Human emotions are complex, and our feelings toward past events, especially tragic ones like being separated from a mother, can be very multi-layered. So it's certainly possible that Arthur grapples with both some resentment toward his mother for not being there. Perhaps that's not a feeling he's proud of, and it only arises in times of stress. So it's certainly possible that Arthur grapples with some resentment towards his mother for not being there. Perhaps it's not a feeling that he's proud of, and it only arises in times of stress. But here, having fought Steppenwolf and having to protect Atlantis when it's not really his home seems to qualify as a stressful time. It's also possible that when he's in a more calm state of mind, that Arthur primarily blames Atlantis for taking his mother away, and for presumably executing her. In fact, the Ultimate Guide for Justice League states exactly this. It says that, "Life is rough at the bottom of the sea. At least it is for Arthur Curry, the superhero who believes his own people killed his mother, Queen Atlanna." So the film and the official materials for Justice League confirm both things, that he is somewhat angry toward his mom, or at least he misunderstands a bit about his mom's situation, and he is also angry towards Atlantis, which connects with the Aquaman film. On a more practical issue, we can trace the Trident. It's the first time here that it's referenced. In scene 21 of Justice League here, Arthur asks for something, which will later be revealed as the Trident. And then that continues forward because he has that same Trident at the start of Aquaman. But then, of course, he gets the Trident of King Atlan. So all of that checks out. Another connection that Nick noticed between this scene and other parts of the DCEU is the thematic idea of accepting responsibility. In Wonder Woman, Diana had to accept some responsibility toward the world of man, even though she wasn't fully of that world. And even previously in this movie, Diana talked to Victor about accepting some responsibility to help out when it's needed. And now here, Mira is making an explicit appeal to Arthur to accept the responsibility of his royal lineage and follow Steppenwolf up to the surface to retrieve the Mother Box. We can also see here that people accepting responsibility in the DCU is not just a solo, lone act. It's something that you rely on other people to do, and that fits in with Justice League's idea of collaboration being stronger than isolation, is that other people can sometimes remind you of your responsibilities or can push you to that kind of higher calling. All right, the final point we wanted to mention in this episode is the hints of information that we get about Mira. Of course, her character is fleshed out a lot more in the Aquaman film, but this is our first chance to learn some information about her in the cinematic universe. I think this brief scene is a nice way to provide hints about her broader backstory, but it doesn't give too much information or take too much time with her because it's not really her movie. We can see, though, that she has a sort of regal costume and she seemed to be a leader during the protection of the Mother Box, and she has some special powers, so she stands out right away as a special character in Atlantis. We also see that she has some interesting interpersonal dynamics with Arthur. They just fought side by side, and they have some respect for each other physically, it seems, but they're a bit cold toward one another. And that's an interesting start for their relationship arc, which of course continues in the Aquaman film when she again has to appeal to Arthur to help out on something that he would probably just as well like to avoid. We also find out that Mira knew Queen Atlanna, and indeed Atlanna took in Mira while Mira's parents were fighting in the wars. The reference to the wars is a nice bit of world building and suggests a long and tumultuous history of the Atlantean societies. But the fact that Atlanna took in Mira when Atlanna had previously abandoned young Arthur, that's a really interesting contrast, which also plants a potential seed of discord in their relationship. As we said, Arthur has some resentment toward his mom, but nevertheless, Mira uses his mom as the lever to try to get Arthur to help out. Mira says it would have been her responsibility to follow the monster to the surface. This does end up working to get Arthur to help out, but it's also interesting to think about the fact that there was an implied possibility of an Atlantean ruler going to the surface if the circumstances called for it. Atlanna would have been somebody who went up to the surface to follow a monster, so Atlanteans did go to the surface when needed. And, in fact, Atlanna did go to the surface in the past, but it wasn't to stop a monster. Atlanna went to the surface to try to get away from Atlantis, and she ended up making a family up there. So that notion of going to the surface contains a reference to the two worlds at play with Arthur, but it also directly connects to Atlanna's backstory as well as Arthur's next steps. Next for us is Justice League and the Russian family. What Russian family? Well, we'll find out. And although we've been having a busy summer and I have not been able to do nearly as many episodes as I would want to, we are still planning on continuing our Aquaman analysis, and we'll have full commentary episodes coming up for Aquaman and for Shazam. Most of our activity recently, though, has been over on our Patreon page at patreon.com/JLUpodcast. So a big thank you to our patrons. We are doing our Man of Steel scene-by-scene analysis over there, and we'll be having more of those episodes out soon. Patreon also has some bonus episodes about the recent animated movies and some of the DC Universe content. So check that out if you're interested, and thanks for listening.